What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess, and we're back with another installment of the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Scam Goddess! Oh, how are y'all doing out there? Okay. Wow. That's wild. Yeah. That's a response you could say to anything. Like, it could be good news, bad news, like wild, you know what I mean? But hey, parasocial girl is. I'm very, yes, excited, elated. We have some guests that we've had on the show before. We are so lucky that we have somehow scammed them back on the program. And y'all are going to love this. I know you truly are. We have two amazing guests on the show. One is an actress and comedian whose half-hour comedy special you can check out in season 3 of Netflix, The Stand-Ups, which I've watched this and it's funny as fuck. Our other guest is a writer, podcaster, and former philosophy professor. Ew, okay, I know that about you. Today, they host the hilarious podcast Couples Therapy, which you can check out anywhere that you get your podcast. I've been on this podcast. I love this podcast. Get into Couples Therapy. Everybody be over there having a good time. Congregation, please welcome the recently married Naomi Ekparagon and Andy Beckerman back to the podcast. What is up, Naomi and Andy? Hey.
Hey.
Lacey.
I don't appreciate that you trained AI to sound like my sister to scam us on here and have her call up and be like, they're holding my child hostage if you don't go on Scam Goddess. I don't appreciate that.
Yes.
And learning it right now at the beginning.
She called from a Mexican prison.
Yes. That's the only way to get Andy
and
to come.
Holding
meanwhile,
the baby
me,
hostage.
I go, I have a grievance. I need a platform.
That's literally what happened.
So that's the two
Naomi texted me and was like, I got shit to say. And I need to say it into a microphone. And I was like, absolutely, sis. I always can understand that. That's me too. That's why I'm here. Wait, so I am so excited to have y'all back on the podcast. Y'all are recently married. Congratulations on getting the government involved in your sex life.
Thank you.
Y'all are like, we love each other so much. We got to get the government.
We have a third. You have to add a third. You have to if you want to keep things spicy.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam is everyone's unicorn. And he's got a weird hat, which is like what, you know, a threesome requires. Like, I've never been approached by someone for a threesome and the guy wasn't in like a fedora or like some kind of a weird hat. Like, the woman's hot mm-hmm. as shit and the guy's mm-hmm. in a weird hat.
I've never been approached. By anyone.
Well, honey, this is why people have to use AI to get you to show up. They can't cold call you. They can't roll up on you.
Oh, is that what happens? Couples just cold call? They just go through and they're like, we got to find a third. Our entire relationship is failing.
It would be hilarious if it was a cold call. It's oftentimes like you're at a bar or somewhere. I've had like one time I was working at a hotel in Pittsburgh and they like just were like, you're so cute. Like, and left the key to their room.
Oh, and a Primanti Brothers sandwich next to it.
Yeah, with fries on it. Yeah, they were like, get your energy up, and then you come right on up to room 418. We're going to do it. I was like,
now, there's a real gamble unless you've made multiple key copies, because they gave you the key, but then you're like, I'm not going up there to be murdered.
Right.
So then the key is just sitting out there loose at the bar.
Wait. What you could have done is gone, spied from around the corner, wait till they left their room again, and then just gone in and taken their stuff.
I know. I didn't think about it. I literally was having the same thought, Andy, as you said it. It was like, I could have robbed them. Like, what the fuck was I doing? I could have just robbed them. I worked at the hotel, so when they walk out, I could have just been like, boop, boop. Honestly, they would have deserved that.
What are you gonna get?
That hat was egregious. That woman was so sexy. I was like, maybe if you watch and we just do something, like, we
right,
fucking
right.
just watch. But
yeah, you hide behind your hat. We'll be
yeah,
in
you
bed.
Keep your hat on. You sit in a chair in a corner.
You go in the bathroom. You turn the water on the faucet so you can't hear anything.
Like, that's how you can be a third, because nah, bruh, not you. But her. I thought about it. But you're right, I could have robbed them. Well, this is going to be like a little bit of a like unconventional what's your relationship with scams, because we already know what we're talking about. But I did get some themed letters that I want your opinions on after.
Okay.
But
okay.
What I got to know, what is your relationship with scams right now, especially coming off of one of the greatest, you know, places to be scammed, which is nuptials? Like, what?
I'm still reeling from the greatest scam I've ever experienced.
We haven't left our apartment in weeks because we're just so scared that someone's going to scam us now.
It is, you know, and it's funny because I thought that armed with the knowledge that it was a scam, being grown,
yes,
doing it ourselves, meaning paying for it ourselves, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
I thought that was somehow going to help us bypass some of the scammery. But Lacey, they will not let you out of their clutches.
No.
Without bleeding you.
Okay,
dry.
So let's.
You are walking fully ahead, knowing you're a mark, and just walking into this and like opening yourself up. And do you know what it is? It's like a bunch of, you ever see that in action movies where people are about to shoot you and there's all those little laser dots on you?
Yes.
Yes, that's what it's like walking into the wedding scam.
Any vendor's office.
Having laser pointers trained right between your eyebrows. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. Mm-hmm.
They know.
Okay, so I have specific questions. Now, one of my friends, I think you know Laura Chen maybe, but when she got married, she kind of did this thing that I was like, this is brilliant, where she didn't, like for the wedding dress, she didn't say that it was a wedding dress. She just went places and be like, what kind of white dresses y'all got? Like, so they couldn't get her that way.
Yeah.
But like, Naomi, did you have any issues with the wedding dress?
wait, Lacey.
Lacey,
my wedding was Saturday, March 11th. I didn't have my dress in hand until Wednesday, March 8th. Mm. So did I have any issues with the wedding dress?
Yes. I had multiple.
Was that the biggest scam? I mean, not the biggest scam. Was that the most anxiety-causing scam?
Absolutely. Okay. I literally had to disassociate.
You was going to be naked down the aisle.
Thank you. I said, I'm going to be in a white potato sack at this point, tied together with twine. Because, okay, so here's what I'd done. I had bought my dress online at like a pre-owned dresses store. Because my thinking was, you wear it once. Why should I spend thousands of dollars? There was a dress that I had had my eye on because we were supposed to get married in 2020. And as you all know, that went sideways. So I was like, oh, well, I like that dress. I looked around. I didn't see anything else. And I thought, well, maybe I can find that dress online. So I get the dress and it needs a little work. So I'm like, okay, right, well, the dress was a pretty, yeah, the dress was a pretty, you know, it was a decent price. It was low price. And I thought, okay, if I got to put a couple hundred on it, a few hundred on it. And, you know, Lacey, I'd be out here trying to support Black-owned business.
Oh.
And I was done so dirty. When I tell you this young woman, and the reason why I talk about her, because she got paid in full, okay? So when you get paid in full, I reserve the right to tell my story.
Oh, no, you absolutely do. Listen, I was just in Joshua Tree, and we had two Black chefs. One who was amazing, the Black woman, and the Black man who absolutely scammed the fuck out of us and gave us the worst fucking food I've ever had in my life. And it was so bad that I finally, for once in my life, in a service experience, because I always have bad ones. My mom's like, you're a magnet for bad service. She's right. Weird shit happens, and I just go with it. It was so fucking bad that I still tipped him 20%, but when I put the money in his hand, I was like, just so you know, everything was really salty and not
very
well.
Yes, very
good. Get the fuck out of my house.
Get out of here. I don't want to look. I just want you to know.
So, but I know, but we got to support ours and like, but you know, I know what you mean. It'd be a familiarity there sometimes. But
she literally,
so what'd she do?
Okay, well, first of all, oh my God, there's so many. Do I talk about, well, the moment where she got my dress in like November. So I give it, the dress she has like end of October, early November. She's like, I'll have it for you beginning of January. My mother is going to fly in from New York to come to this dress fitting. She knows that in advance. I've set up a location. I'm like, we got the hotel room. We're going to have a thing.
And this is a moment.
Exactly.
Like a say yes.
Exactly.
We're going to champagne. We're going like, to cry.
You know, and like, I'm the only child, the daughter. You know, this is my, I'm trying to give my mother a moment as well, right? Like, that was all part of it too. And so I email her the night before, just being like, hey, here's the address. And at 10:30 p.m. LA time, I get an email back that's like, I'm sorry, the dress is not ready. She's like, I have deconstructed it and there's nothing for your mother to see. I can maybe pin it together.
It is in pieces.
It's in pieces.
Like a Hannibal episode where Hannibal cut up the one person and put her in slices.
Sure.
These metaphors, hold on. These metaphors are great.
Yeah, they're excellent. But my thing is, the big question is, Lacey, she knew she didn't have that dress ready before I emailed her an address the night before. You knew you weren't going to have that dress ready Monday at the very least, Tuesday, Wednesday, enough time for my mother to perhaps, I don't know, reschedule her flight, get her hotel money back, something.
Like, your mama in the sky.
Thank you.
And she ain't told you the dress not ready.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ooh, that's grounds for getting cussed out.
So that's like, that's the first problem.
But she can't cuss her out. Naomi can't cuss her out because she's holding
the
dress hostage.
It's in pieces. It's in pieces. It's hostage, okay? My dress
She's going to send you little pieces like a head in a box.
Exactly. It's like we're in the movie Seven. And I'm just hoping for a dress. So then, finally, she gives me a... So then, February 24th, we finally have a fitting.
You know the dates. That's how fucked up this is. She remembered the date.
3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. During Black History Month. I know the dates.
Oh, and not during Black History Month now. And not during our month.
And we're trying to have this fitting. Do you know she comes into the fitting with an attitude and she goes, this is the last time I'm doing tailoring because it's too much work and it's not worth it.
Okay, ma'am, this girl. That's something for your group chat.
Thank you.
That's not something for your client.
Thank
That's
you.
What I mean by like sometimes like white people close your ears.
this is just
for Black people right here. But sometimes when I be working with Black businesses, there's this over-familiarity where they just be like relaxing a little bit more and telling me their thoughts. And I'm like, I didn't come here for that.
Right. Right.
It's also like the white people.
Thank you. I was like, would you do that? And it's also like, and then I try on this dress. She has put, what I needed was the bodice. The color of the bodice was, you know, Caucasian flesh toned. And we were going for a match to my flesh tone. So I just really needed the bodice adjusted. And she was going to do a little corset back. So I try on this dress. I have a brown skirt. She has put brown fabric in the skirt. Like a layer of brown. So it's like tulle. She put brown underneath. She's like, it was so white. Now, honey, we're giving mocha. I said, too white? It's a wedding dress. What you doing giving mocha? I didn't ask you to give me mocha.
Why are you trying to give me a flesh tone wedding dress? That's not what we talked about.
That's not what we talked about. Why is it brown? And literally, I'm sitting here at this point 3 weeks before, and I was like, I need this dress out of her possession. I need to just have this dress. So I literally got it back. She's like, I have to do one more thing. I'll give it to you tomorrow. And I just said, oh, please, Jesus, just let her not make any. And I kind of wrote her back and was like, don't do anything. I texted her, but I was like, don't make any other changes. I'll take it. Like,
I told her, I'm like, just tell her you love it as it is. Like, lie to her so you can get the dress in your hands. Tell her it's amazing. Like, just say whatever you need to get that dress in your hands the way it is.
Yeah. When you physically had it on, Naomi, I feel like you should have runaway brided that shit. Like, had them sneakers on and just hit the bricks.
I know. Grab my purse and just been like, thank you. And it was, like, so wild. So then after that, you know, we're so close to the date and one of the bigger scams, too, with weddings is, you know, they've convinced you that you have to take at least a year, if not a year and a half, to plan everything, right? So even getting a dress where everyone's like, you want a dress in 6 months? You want a dress in 7 months? You're crazy. You're mad. And it's like, actually, no. If you did your job, we'd all be fine. But you set up a system to make this more complicated. And also, you get extra money if you do it quickly. Anyway, so now when I have to get it fixed, I have to
Is that it? Oh, that's brilliant.
Because if you need a dress tailored and it's not a wedding dress, you can get that shit in 2 days, 1 day sometimes.
You and I have both done events or red carpets. They'll get you that shit overnight. Mm-hmm.
And sew your ass up into that motherfucker. Like, I've done it many times.
Yeah.
So it's possible. But when you say wedding, they like, we're going to take 6 months. You're right. And if you want it faster, you got to pay for it.
Right.
Oh, damn.
So I had to go to a second tailor and she... So I had to go to this woman. A friend found it because this is a big thing, too, is, you know, not being from L.A., I don't know everybody and I don't know the nooks and crannies and I don't know where to go. So luckily, a friend referred me to somebody and this woman, literally, I showed her the dress. Shout out to Luba's Tailoring. OK, Luba is referral only because she said I ain't playing with y'all crazies. But somehow I got in there and Luba looked at this dress. Well, it wasn't Luba. It was Rose at Luba's. Rose looked at this dress. She goes, what did she do to you? Can you imagine?
When like Rose is ready to fight for you.
Literally, she was like, I'm livid on your behalf. I hate when I see people do bad work. She should not be out here saying she's a tailor. And I said, well, this must be why she don't want to tailor ever again, because she realized she can't do it.
Yeah. Right? She was like, I got to stop lying to people about my job.
She's not lying to people. I should have said.
It's so stressful when you can't do your job right.
Exactly. So that was huge. So in the end, I did spend 3 times the cost of the dress on fixing the dress.
Damn.
Yep. Between two tables.
And I hate this because you actually did like all your avoiding of the scam. You were like, I'm not buying a new dress. I'm going to get it discounted. I've already had my eye on this. The dress came intact.
Yep.
And look, you know, and then you got scammed on the back end.
On the back end.
Everything. Everything is like that. Now, the rest of the people that were the vendors were not awful. Like, they did their jobs really well. Our wedding planner was amazing and did her job really well. It's mm-hmm. just that the structure of planning a wedding in America, I don't know about anywhere else, but the structure of planning a wedding in America is designed as a scam from the ground up. So you can have great people, as much as that first tailor was an awful person, their role was still scamming at every level. Does that make sense at all?
Yes.
Because you are desperate to have a, you are, first of all, if you're doing it
it's
right.
It's your special day. It's yes. your special One day. Special
exactly,
day.
Exactly. exactly. They hold a gun to your wedding's head.
Yeah. They have, it's like
time.
Funerals. You only gonna die once. So
that's why it costs $6,000 for a casket.
Right, for a box.
Exactly.
They like, bitch, when you gonna die again? Okay, that's what we thought.
Exactly.
So get this cute box so people can cry.
Exactly.
So weddings are the same way. Your hope is you get married once.
Yeah.
So they're like, don't you want it to be your special day? Yeah. So wait. Andy, tell me about some of the like the specific setups with the vendors or things that like...
You want to talk about the tenting or the lights?
Well, sure. Okay. Sure. So, you know, the reason why we want to do it in Los Angeles as opposed to New York was that we want to do it outside. We're very COVID mm-hmm. conscious. We want it to be safe. And also, it's warm all the time. So we can do it, right, in March.
Right.
So we didn't factor climate change into the equation.
Yeah. And L.A. climate changed up real quick this whole year. They was like, uh-huh. it's over. The earth is canceled.
Exactly.
Yeah. So like the beginning of the year, it's just raining. Like every day it's raining. It's a torrential downpour. Noah is laughing his ass off at us. It's just not yep.
Got his animals
out.
Two by two thriving.
Right. We,
thriving.
But, we needed to be on that arc. We truly
we needed
did.
It.
Well, I imagine
chocolate
Noah.
Lights out.
Noah in heaven pointing at us.
Uh-huh.
On a cloud with a giraffe. So, okay. So 10 days before the wedding, I think. Is that the timeline? Basically, we start to think, well, maybe we need to tent. Now, tenting, we got a good deal on the tenting, and yet the tenting would have cost $10,000. $10,000 to put up some flaps?
Like a white, 10, or a regular old basic-ass plastic, white, a sturdy plastic, but plastic. Basically glorified.
Oh, I thought this
tarp.
Was gonna be like a Beyonce tent, like or something. Like I thought it was gonna be given Abu Dhabi if
no,
they
no,
talk
no,
about 10,000
Coachella tent, nothing fabulous, but just what you would do to cover yourself from rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's we can just get against umbrellas for cheaper than that.
The venue that we paid money for, paid thousands.
Mm-hmm.
How much can we? I don't know, but a lot.
No, because I'm embarrassed by some of the things we did. I would have put dollars out there, but let's just say, y'all, I had been on a program and I thought I had the money to spend. Okay. So I said, let's do some things, and I still resent it.
No, you need two. You got to do what Lacey does. You got to be on two TV shows,
and then
maybe you can afford nice things.
I have four jobs right now. I'm like, and I'm like, oh, I can't afford a house. Bro, what? This is crazy. But wait, I want to keep talking about these vendors, but we do have to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements.
Robbery and fraud.
And we're back. Andy, we were talking about the vendors, so we talk about the $10,000 tent.
Yes, but this is so that's a scam in itself, because it's right. the flaps cost $12 or something. Right,
right? Exactly. Also, if you
and
in
they
a
use
tent
them
business,
over and over,
you got tents. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you make yeah. you building it from scratch. You got to go call your guy and cut up. You got if you're a tent renter, you got tents in your warehouse. Yeah. You got them somewhere.
But this venue, which we already gave them money to rent the place for the day, then was going to charge us an extra $4,000 to take down the lights that they've strung across so that the tent could be there. $4,000. Now, one of the couples therapy listeners, who's, I think, an architect or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, we do have fancy listeners.
Told us, that's a scam. He was like, that's just, they quoted you $4,000 so that you would not do it.
To
because
discourage it.
Doesn't take that, it doesn't take any, it doesn't cost really anything to just take lights down.
These are literally like the way you see string lights at a restaurant. Like, Lacey, when I tell you these lights, they just went from one side to another. We ain't talking crisscross applesauce. We ain't talking writing stuff in the sky. It ain't doing nothing. It's a back and a forth, little tiny lamps, little lights. And $4,000.
So let's give it Christmas.
Give me a ladder, sir. $4,000? And of course, you're already in, right? You're already, it's like, we're having this wedding.
You don't want rain over. Everyone's going to be, all I was doing, I could not sleep that entire week that we had to make this decision. whether we were going to tent or not. We kept constantly looking at the weather report, constantly updating it. And then I went in and I'm like, well, what's the, okay, we're 4 days out now. Cause that's when we had to make the final decision. 4 days out. We're 4 days out. What's the percentage chance that the weather report is accurate? And is that enough? Cause like 4 days out, it's like 96% accurate. Can I live with that 4%? I'm not sleeping. I'm just like racked with images of it raining and everyone being miserable and then just going inside anyway. And I'm outside just like soaked because we didn't choose to tent.
We're so wet. Everyone's so wet.
Wet, livid. You know, I said absolutely not. My hair will not withstand it on my special day.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yes.
So it's like even that too. It was just like, what are we going to? But that was the thing because it was like really they were like, you have to decide 5 days out. But here's the other thing too, right? We all know how weather work. What it's saying in 5 days ain't going to be what it's going to be 5 days from now. That ain't how the weather work. You wake up, you look at the weather. That's the weather.
We gamble.
And the weatherman be just giving vibes sometimes. Yeah. Like, the weatherman be like, oops, my bad, y'all. It's going to be a tornado. Like, why you didn't?
Al Roker is all vibes. All vibes.
Al Roker is all vibes.
The barometric pressure is some bullshit,
it's
and we know
bullshit.
It. Y'all don't know what y'all talk about.
Yes.
Yep. It's like they're just like the girl on Mean Girls. She was like, well, my tits can tell when it's raining. What a man's like, yes. I could definitely tell y'all when it's raining.
I could be at my window tell you when it's raining. But that was like, in the end, because 5 days out, it looked fine. We didn't tent. Because also, too, you get it, right? And where it's like, well, if you don't use the tent, well, then you still have paid out, I think, like $2,000 or something, you know, because you don't get that back. And it's, I mean, I think that's my biggest frustration with this whole process too, is like the nickel and diming of it all.
Yes.
Like when I booked you as a venue, you should have given me a sheet of paper that said, here are all the extra fees we could charge you. If these lights
let's
need
give
to Ticketmaster.
It's 100% Ticketmaster.
Because I was like, you, especially a week away from the wedding, you tell me an extra $4,000 for lights? I would have probably looked for another place. Because to me, it's like, you're rude. Like, I would have really been like, you charge $4,000 for lights? I don't trust your chicken. Like, that's what I would have felt if I had that information at the time.
But don't you have a deposit that's a non-refundable?
Yes.
That they have you by the balls?
Yes.
And titties?
Of course.
It's all non-refundable.
Squeeze you by whatever little nub they can get. They'll squeeze you by whatever you got.
They'll grab a flap of skin. They'll grab an eyebrow. They don't care.
They'll take you. They'll take you out. I mean, it was so funny because at tenting, I lost my mind when the flowers, you know, there are things like, for me, of course, they looked nice and stuff like that, but I'm not a... I wouldn't think of flowers. If I'm like talking about what I like, I'm like, I've never once walked in and gone, I love the florals at a place. It's not where I'm in.
They're very expensive.
Well,
and
right.
So a lot of people are doing DIY centerpieces now with like rocks and sticks.
Well,
and
see,
I'm like, I'm good for y'all, but this, I like flowers.
This way I need some homegirls. See, this is the thing too. If we were 10 years younger, we could have played that game, but we grown now. People expect a nice evening.
Yes.
People expect
yes.
a certain yeah, yeah. elevated experience, especially if they're flying from New York City to Los Angeles.
And you on TV, so you can't be playing.
Yeah, yeah.
They physically can see how much money you have.
What they think I have.
We're old enough to hire movers. We're old enough to hire florists, okay? That's just, we just aged out of paying people with beer and pizza.
Right. And so, but at one point, so the florist, like, you know, we have it all set. But then it was like, as we get closer to, because again, right, they wait till you close. Mm-hmm. If you want to see a sample centerpiece, that'll be an extra $400.
To just see a sample?
To just see a sample.
Just a taste?
And I said, I'm not paying you $400 when I've already paid you thousands of dollars to put this thing together. You're telling me? I was like, and of course, it was like, well, of course, individual flowers cost more than buying wholesale. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. What a baby, get on Photoshop. Piece it together. You got a lookbook? Show me a picture of what you did at a similar wedding this time of year. There are other
right,
ways
you
can
show. You got no photos.
Thank you.
You ain't got no photos of your work.
You ain't
Why
got
you
a
lying?
You ain't got a picture that's like, here's what's in season here.
Google search chrysanthemum, okay?
What, like, what is it? That's, and it was so funny because, of course, it's like, that seems so minor in the scheme of what you have to spend, like $400. But again, for me, it was the nickel and diming of it all. Because if you had rolled that into the original fee, I may not have been pressed. You see what I'm saying? Like, if that had right. just been part of it. But it's after I done paid you and you come around asking for something else. I really resent the nickel and the diamond. These people, they just come around trying to just pick little bits and pieces. And I just said, babe, it's Photoshop. Babe, pull some pictures out of a magazine. Make a vision board. Do what you got to do to show me something that doesn't cost $400 extra dollars. Stop it with the little bits and pieces, babes.
Also, to me, that's just so skeevy because they know you're getting closer to the date. You're not going to move your venue. You're not going to change anything at this point. Everybody got the location, the address, everybody flying in, staying at hotels close by. So the desperation meter is so high that they know they can just really ride you hard.
Yeah.
But did you end up paying the $400?
No, I said surprise me. I said surprise me.
Hey, and it was beautiful.
They all came together. It looked very nice. But I said, I'm done with y'all trying to play me. And I said, you know what? We'll roll the damn dice.
do something red. Get somebody else to do it.
Literally, I was like, here are the colors I like. Can this work? And then I just said, put it together. Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing it. And it was so funny because like, so that was even before tenting and all that extra, like $4,000. I go,
yes.
Nope, I ain't taking down lights. We just all gonna have to drip. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
It was just like, as we got closer and closer to the wedding, it was just all of these sudden hidden fees coming out. And then I think it was with the heat lamps that I got really vermished and I started, I can't even think of an English word. I have to go to Yiddish.
He's got to go to Yiddish. They broke him down. He went ancestral.
Not back to the motherland.
And I just wrote to the wedding planner. I said, please just get us a fair price. Please. I'm begging you. Just please get us a normal human price for this. A normal human price.
But this is where it goes back to again, too. And who knows, you know, certainly this is all different depending on where you live, right? And there's a big thing, too, where, you know, someone's like, oh, yeah, I've seen you on TV. Just because
that
TV,
price goes up.
It doesn't mean I want to spend all the money I have on this. That's the other thing, too, because I think people are just like, well, you're fancy or you're quote unquote famous, right? Like, and then it'll just be like, well, then why just spend it? And it's like, but that's not what I choose to do with my money. And what you don't know about my whole thing, I kept yelling to, you don't know my life. Literally, I would yell this at anyone. Because I was like, you don't know my circumstance. You don't know, you know, we work in a business too where, okay, yeah, it was a nice year, but we don't know if it's going to be next year.
Right. We up on a whole strike right now. So like, where the girls aren't going to be able to make nothing. So yeah, it's up and down. So you never know how long you're going to need to save your money. That's been a real like thought of mine right now. Is I'm like, damn, like I'm always feeling like I'm broke, even though I'm definitely not. But I'm like, I gotta keep that broke mindset and stop.
So you don't lose it all. Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Cause I like nice shit. And I was like, girl, you cannot buy another Chanel bag. You need to calm the fuck down. I was like, we are at a stop loss. We are, yes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what all this stuff adds up to, too? Is that one of the reasons why the planner and the florist and all these people are manipulating you and holding the gun to their wedding day's head is not just like they want you to like have a nice day, which I'm sure they do, a lot of them. It's that they want a nice photo for their Instagram so they can say, look what I did. Look at these flowers that I made. Look at all this other stuff look how I put this together. And then they can use that to get more business. So they're when you're like, well, I don't know if I want a DJ, you know, a playlist is fine. And they're like, well, you have to have a DJ. If you don't have a DJ, then it's going to all fall apart.
And you need lasers and you definitely have to have a snow machine.
Yeah, 100%. Bubbles. Well, you got to have bubbles.
Well, I think though, I think that's certainly part of it. But I think the big thing too,
I think it's all of it.
Well, but I think a big thing about weddings is it is because it's a wedding. And the thing with, I think both Andy and I, like prime example before this, I was like, hey, you should sign your tax things or whatever. And he's like, I don't sign anything without reading it. So he's like, I'm not just going to do the DocuSign. I got to sit down and read it. We are not people who do stuff just cause. And the whole, I think, wedding structure is a just cause, right? And so the whole time I'm sitting here, I go, but why? And everyone's very annoyed. But this is why I was like, I will not, because I was like, you have to explain it to me because just cause is not a good enough answer. Because I was like, you can make an exception in this case.
Naomi, had a great term for these. She calls these spider web scams. Is that right?
Yes.
Spider web scams. Because you just walk into it and then you're stuck.
Yeah. You just walk in. You don't know what's there. These, next thing you know, you can't
believe it. They're lazy. You
this isn't
in
like
silk.
This isn't like Sean King. Sean King's working. He's like looking at every white, guilty liberal trying to figure out
how to... Right, and he's juicing them. He's getting them to buy everything he got.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. That's going to make you sleep better at night. That white guilt going to be gone as soon as you buy this hoodie and this book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's one of those things of like the culture around it is so strong in scam, and everyone has made the decision that they're all going to participate in the same way. Mm-hmm. So that you can't really go to any different vendor, any different planner, any different florist who's not going to run your fucking pockets because they have all made an agreement. Yeah. It's like the diamond industry. They was like, we got to stop releasing them bitches so they get some value. Everybody charged the same price. And they was like, yeah, we all go charge square up. We charging the same price.
Yeah. Yeah. The mafia. They all. You should get all the wedding stuff on a RICO charge.
RICO wedding industry. Every single person.
The whole industry.
Everybody.
They moving weight. They say, you're going to say, I do a lot. I do to these prices. I do to these taxes. Mm-hmm. I do to these fees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I want a grand jury to say I do to them.
Yes.
Well, that brings me to one of our listener letters here, where I do want to like get a fake name from you guys. And this, I think, is going to be a little cathartic. This one's a short one. But like, I just need a fake name. We don't care about gender.
Chrysanthemum.
Like them flowers they was running your pockets. So Chrysanthemum says, not so much a scam, just having fun. Okay, Chrysanthemum, we'll be the judge of that. So Chrysanthemum says, so my parents got divorced years ago, and my mom gave me her old engagement/wedding ring since I'll probably never end up getting married. Now, your mama didn't have to shade you like that.
Ouch. It's your kid.
Damn. Yeah. She was like, we know your ass ain't finding no love. So why don't you just cosplay as a married person? I love that. So every once in a while, my two girlfriends and I go wedding dress shopping so we can drink down a few bottles of free champagne. What's better than a day drinking on somebody else's dime and playing dress up? Okay, Secret Chrysanthemum, you scammed them back.
Yeah, you scammed them back. You turned the tables. You said, what can I get out of the experience?
Right. Why are we going to brunch, bitch? We need to be going to David's brunch.
David's did not give me... So this was the thing too, right? Because of COVID and stuff and the way things were set up, I didn't have any of those moments. Like, because it was like everyone's in masks, they're not giving drinks or like any of that stuff. So that's the thing. I didn't even have like a champagne moment.
See, COVID, they've used COVID to get rid of a lot of the amenities that we used to get. Because now they're just like bare bones. And I don't think they're ever going to go back.
I know. And also, like, they weren't even wearing masks. Like, I was in a mask. But they were like, oh, we don't do that anymore because of COVID. I was like, but your face bare. So which one is it?
You got your face out. So
I don't think it was COVID. I was like, y'all just don't want to have to do it.
What kind of champagne is this that they're giving you anyway? It can't be good.
Well, honey, it's free. You'll take it. A Cobell.
Yeah, we'll take Andre. A Cobell. We going to sip on some Andre for the occasion. It'll get you there.
Exactly.
Go to fancy boutiques. Bring some chicken and some waffles. And have brunch there, okay? We are in a recession, okay? Inflation is high.
Right. You're like, okay, let me finish these pancakes before I put on a dress. I don't want to stain nothing because I can't afford it.
Right.
So I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to put on a dress.
They came in here with several containers of food. Yeah, this is our culture. This is a part of the wedding culture and my culture. We have to do the sacred meal before choose the
You know what I would say? I'd be like, actually, I really want to know how the dress fits when I'm really full. Because I need to know how it's going to fit, you know, on the day if I'm eating. I need to. And it's so true. I'll be trying on clothes on a full stomach because I said, don't you confuse me. Because if you try on clothes and you too svelte, you'll be real upset when you were like halfway through the party or the event and you've like had something and you're like, damn, I hate this.
It's getting tighter and tighter. Yeah, you're right about that. Because you can't pop a belt loot on in your wedding dress. Like, you just got to just stay in there stuck.
Yeah, Naomi goes to fittings with their stylist with like three things of pad thai.
Get a noodle base. Get a noodle base in.
Get a carb. So you really know what's going on. Now, we're going to take another quick break for some non-scam advertisements and we'll be right back.
Scams!
Hey, y'all, and we're back. This is a little unconventional because I wanted to do, while we have this wedding couple, people who've just been run through by a wedding scam. So I have one more wedding scam for y'all before we get into the hoodwink. So this one harkens back to Naomi talking about her dress. Give me a fake name for this person.
Rita.
Well.
That's good.
So Rita says, I'm an independent clothing designer and I recently came across I'm not going to say the name of the place, but she put the name, the link to the Facebook. She really wants to air this bitch out.
We love
it. Call them Tanya's Bridal Accessories. Okay. Now, if you're Tanya out there, just know this is not about Otanya. This is a different name. So this scammer, Rita says, is saying that her bridal gowns are custom-made originals. All of the images have been weirdly cropped and horribly blurred and marked out designer names. So not only is she selling this cheap plastic dresses at premium prices, this kind of material is going to make the bride miserable, sweaty, itchy, and I can only imagine the poor craftsmanship and busted seams on your wedding day. And you avoided busted seams, but our good sis was trying to get your seams bust.
Oh yeah. Tanya's out here saying, let's see if I can flip this. Let's see. You know, because she's right. Like, I know there's money in the wedding game, so I'm just gonna buy every white dress I see at a yard sale and then call it vintage and be done with it.
I mean, because isn't that what vintage is?
Yeah.
Some old. It's something new to you.
Exactly. It's like something with a history. And it's like, okay, cool. If I like what that history is. Do you know what I mean? Because I can say I got vintage stuff and that's just clothes from kindergarten.
A lot of history in this country. Not great. A lot of history in this country. Not great.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about vintage American.
Right. I low-key want to know, like, though, did you like stage your dress or anything? Because like, what if like a racist got married in it before you?
That is such a good question. You know, I did ask her. I was like, you know, why? Because you could go back and forth and message and stuff, right? And so she was like, I was supposed to get married in 2020. The wedding didn't happen because of COVID. The dress has never been worn.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay.
So it had good vibes on it. She didn't put her vibes on it with her body.
Yeah. Naomi asked if she had put a black square up on her Instagram or not.
Yeah, I was like, do you have a history of black squares? In this household, do you believe that Black Lives Matter? Science is real? Love is love?
Right.
And then I was like, okay, fine. I'll give you money.
I'll give you money. Okay. I mean, what was she going to say?
Exactly.
What was she going to say? I disagree with black lives.
But I'll take your black money. You know?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
But that's what they all do. Exactly. They will take our black money. Exactly. They may not want our lives, but they will take that money. Exactly. Okay. They're in solidarity with my bank account. For sure. But so Rita just wraps up by saying you can reverse image search nearly every single dress she's posted. Wow. It's a blatant scam, and I'm sure she'll block me on Facebook soon for calling her out. And I figured I'd report her to Scam Goddess. Her storefront has 1,500 likes. That means that she's possibly scammed or is in the process of scamming these unsuspecting brides. Rita gave me screenshots. She gave me all the information.
Rita's like me. Rita said, I have a grievance. I need a platform. Rita was like, I've seen this thing. Who do I go to? Not Better Business Bureau. Scam Goddess.
That's a scam. Better Business Bureau is a scam.
We had a listener tell us that.
Yeah, because companies just pay to get bad reviews taken down. So, but the Better Business Bureau can't literally do shit to help you. And like, I remember I used to threaten people with that and they'd be laughing in my face like, call them, bitch. Like, I don't give a fuck. I said, damn.
Wow.
All right, then. You just not going to give me better business? Okay, cool.
Wow.
Cool. I won't call the bureau. It's not even a bureau.
I didn't even
fake.
Know that. It's just, it's really just somebody at a desk. And I didn't realize.
No, I've talked about it. It's a website that will like just take down bad reviews if you pay them money. And depending on how big your business is,
right.
Like they'll charge you more or right. less. And then like there's no repercussions for reporting things over there. They just put bureau in it and the girls thought it was official because it's like the F, the B, and the I. They were like, they got bureau up in it. So they must be knocking on people's doors and like hitting them with Bobby nightsticks once I report the business.
Yeah.
They ain't doing shit.
There's two forms. Scam Goddess, or you can tweet at Elizabeth Warren. That's about it.
Those are your two options.
Only options.
For fighting justice. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, getting on Twitter and talking about a business and adding them, that's how you really get the better business out of their ass, because they'll slide, they'll come in them comments and be like, we are sorry about this inconvenience. Could you open your DMs so that we could rectify this?
Do you think they do that, though? If you don't have a lot of followers or if you don't have the blue check, if those even still exist. Because I wonder that, too, because I've never tried it, except when I love to complain when I'm in an airport. I'll be like, at JetBlue, really, bitch? You know what I mean? Like, I'll do that. But, like, do you think they will actually try to rectify or, like, give a voucher or give a credit?
I mean, I never thought about that because I guess we do have very public platforms. But I feel like if you tweet and you don't got a lot of followers, all you got to do is just get some hashtags in there. Make the story a little funny. You know, give the girls something to retweet or make it real like juicy and tragic so that people will rage retweet because they want to dunk on somebody. Because the thing is there's two types of bullies on Twitter, ethical bullies and assholes. There's some people who are just like, I'm miserable. So you're going to be miserable with me too. too, bitch. And then the other bullies are like, I can't believe JetBlue lost their wheelchair. Y'all some raggedy ass bitches and your CEO is ugly as fuck. But it's like they're doing it in the name of justice.
Right, yeah. Right. Yes.
But they're both bullying.
Right. So, Drew, people love talking about how ugly a CEO is. And I'm like, why you think they're a CEO?
Right. And then didn't we say we're not body shaming no more?
It's
like,
you.
Yeah, but Trump is an orange raggedy bitch.
If you're like a rich white dude, you're like, no, we will body shame them. We will body shame an old rich white dude.
It's for justice.
Justice.
No, we just assholes. But yeah, I think if you do something like that, people will
It can be done. That's good to know.
Yes.
There is
Follow some fighters on Twitter. Follow some bitches who always just clapping down, using their platform to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to name any names, but we know it's bitches on Twitter who just love to fight.
Yes. And I say bless them because I don't have the energy.
I don't either. Talk to me nice. Because if you're talking mean, babes, I'm not even going to clap back. I don't want you to know I saw it. Okay, but all right. It's time to get into historic hoodwinks. So we're pivoting from the wedding space and we're moving into a hoodwink that is about a filmmaker who unknowingly makes a film that is set to cover fraud. Wow.
What?
So he didn't know that he made a fraud movie? A fraud film?
How is this possible? Wait, the movie was being made in an attempt to cover up a different fraud, like some fraud going on.
Yeah. So let's see.
Let's see.
So a budding filmmaker, Paul Knight, was given the opportunity of a lifetime.
Uh-oh. First red flag.
Right. I don't like nothing of a lifetime. Like, I hope that there's going to be better things for me in my lifetime. I don't like life savings. I don't like opportunity of a lifetime.
Am I allowed to body shame Paul Knight?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Paul Knight's
Let's see. If he's a bad guy, then really run it up.
Okay.
I told you, dear.
So later we'll figure out if we can talk shit about him. But in this picture, it's giving brooding. It's black and white. He's wearing a vest, which is very interesting to me because what year is it?
Hey, I had a vest in my wedding suit.
But no, this is a black vest. This is giving cater waiter at the Penguins restaurant.
Okay.
It is.
That's the thing. But I think it's supposed to be I'm a filmmaker, I'm an artist, right? Whenever you go black and white, you're like, it's art. I'm an artist.
Yeah, but the fit is giving like liver pate on a gourmet cracker. Like it's giving.
Yeah.
And I worked in the service industry. But I'm
right. We know
that
what that fit is. Exactly.
this is the fit.
Is literally when they're like, pick a vest from the box. We may not have your size. You know, when you have a job where you have to wear this, pick like, well, yep. You late. You just, the only one left is the XS.
And I love that Andy was like, can I body shame? And we're like, no, that's wrong. And then we're like, why are you dressed like a fucking server?
Immediately.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't help myself. It's more just like the ensemble. Okay.
Yeah, it's just the vibe of it. So he's given the opportunity of a lifetime when approached to help write and produce an indie budget British feature length film called Landscape of Lies. Little did he know that this project that he was now hired to do was literally to cover
up. Can we discuss the poster for A Landscape of Lies?
Yeah.
Explain it. Break it down, Andy.
Yes,
a chessboard in which, and in the back, it's like, it's giving film noir, right? In the back are like tall, towering skyscrapers in silhouette. And on the chessboard, the queen is knocked over and there's blood under the queen.
But it's a piece. It's the chess piece of a queen.
Right.
And she bleeding, but it's a chess piece.
Right.
It's not Queen Elizabeth.
Right. And there's no sign of like a wound. It's just kind of like red underneath the white chess piece of the
queen. It don't even look like blood. It looked like somebody just went in paint and was like, put a little red underneath.
Yeah. No, it's real MS Paint vibes. Right.
MS Paint. They put it together on a budge. They did.
It's given the paperclip was right next to them.
It was like, are you sure you want to do this?
It's given terrible. They put it on their Instagram story and clicked that little paint thing. It was like, just add that on in the bottom. Just scribble a little bit of that. So, a landscape of lies. They try to give intrigue, babes.
Right, okay? They are giving intrigue. It's giving Gotham City.
So in February of 2011, Paul Knight was approached, right, by a production company owned by partners Bashar Al-Issa and Aoife Madden, looking for a screenwriter. So they just pulled up and were like, we're looking for a screenwriter. We have money. Normally, we all know in this business, like, people don't just pull up to you and be like, oh, I have this passion project that we need you to write. We haven't written it.
We also haven't seen anything you've done. We don't know you. No one comes up saying we want a writer and they just like pick a writer. You know, just a dude who's like, all right. And they're like, cool.
And a director. So they were really trusting this person that they just pulled up on, right? And yeah, in this business, you literally have to like sell yourself so fucking hard to get anything. Right. Like you want two lines that are uncredited. And they're not going to feed you and they're not going to pay you. And you still got to beat out like 40 people to get it.
You better have gone to Juilliard. Okay.
We're only seeing people from Yale. And to say, do you want fries with that?
Yeah.
You won't be paid.
Yeah. The amount of charisma I've had to put out to do a punch up on like some, you know, Minions knockoff, you could call nuclear. The amount of energy I've had to put out in those meetings.
Oh, you did that movie, Lil Thang?
Lil Yellow Thang?
Lil Orange Thang? We can't be too close.
Orange, you're right. They got to be orange. They got to be orange and they have two eyes.
Right. You know the vibes. So he was at first asked to write a trial script for an animated children's movie and then later was asked to take a look at a script for a full-length feature called The Landscape of Lives, a crime thriller about a corrupt property developer. Ooh. Ooh, was he burying people at the properties? It's not a sexy job for a thriller. He was an accountant.
Well, all property developers are sketchy anyway, right? Like, it's like, True. Okay, it's like, he worked without permits, you know? And then you're like, yeah.
Maybe he was burying the bodies in the property. Then I could give
Okay, now you've written it. Now you've written it. Now we owe you money.
You do. Everyone does. So after a few months of inconsistent communication and a confusing change of companies under Bashar,
how is that any different from any other Hollywood thing?
Nope. Confusing. It's given normal.
It seems normal to me.
Sometimes I'll audition for something and like I like to throw my scripts away as soon as I'm done with it because I forget about it, right? Whatever. I gave my little performance. Y'all call me or not. And I remember I auditioned for this one movie and I was like, damn, well, I thought I killed that. But like, oh, well. And like 2.5 months later, they cast me. I was like, where y'all come from?
Yeah.
It was, that's how I operate on dating apps, which is why I never go on dates. Because I'll match with somebody and then like maybe talk to them for like two like hours, if that, maybe like a couple exchanges. And then I'll forget about the app for like 5 months. And I'll be like, oh, hey. And my reissue point line is always like, hey, you married? Sorry, I forgot about this. Did you get married? I know it's been six months.
So wait, you try to get back in there. So yeah. Meaning like you will remember, like you'll be like, oh, right. So it's like you were interested at some point.
Yeah, but then I just forget. Life gets in the way and I don't like have any notifications on for the app. So yeah. I'm just like, I forget about it. And then I go in and I'd be like, hey, you still around? I don't think they'd be responding.
I was going to say, how does it work? Do you get the feedback?
No, rarely. Sure, they've unmatched. Think I'm a bitch. But yeah, so months and months later, they pulled back up and was like, hey, you still trying to get in on this landscape of lies? So Paul agreed and changed the film to A Landscape of Lies. So he put that little finesse on it. It was Libas with an S. And he was like, I think it's sexier if it's lies.
Okay.
Yeah, lies. No, he had to do a lot of thesaurus work with that. Yeah.
He did. He's a writer.
I mean, I think it was probably a typo. He said, let's keep. Do you know what I mean? Like he was writing and then forgot the V and then said, that's it.
He said, no, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. I said what I said. So he created a new story involving an Iraq war veteran who gets mixed up with London gangsters and a sexy therapist after his mentor is murdered. So many things.
Wow, there's a lot going on there.
Guy Ritchie's Three Kings.
Guy Ritchie's Three Kings.
But also, why the poster don't make sense then? Why the queen?
Okay. Well, yes, now I really don't understand the chest of it all. And also, is it about a property developer?
No, they took that out.
That's done. We're no more property. Now we're about gangs and a veteran.
And a veteran. Mm-hmm. So the next day, Bashir and the Alpha, they asked Paul if he would begin production on this show or movie himself. So Bashir asked Paul, how much to make the damn thing?
What?
Do everything for us. We have no idea what we're doing. I'd love to hear that in the entertainment business.
How much? We don't know what's happening.
I'm like, how much you got?
Oh my God.
How much you want to get?
Right, right.
So up until now, Paul's resume consisted of him paying thousands of pounds out of pocket to produce his own films that were largely unwatchable due to his lack of expertise in getting usable footage or audio. Oh.
What? So he can't even make a YouTube video is what you're saying.
No. Like, there are six-year-olds wow. who are out here with better camera skills.
See, this is where sometimes, like, it is your ego that causes problem, because you should have known your movies weren't watchable, so that when someone comes to you and goes, great, will you make this? You should have been like, oh, I don't have the skills to do that.
But just like your first dressmaker.
That's true.
She's like, I may not have the skills, but I have the gumption.
I have the gumption.
There's too much gumption in this world. That's the problem.
That's so true.
I think you nailed it. Too much gumption. Too much
too
moxie.
Too much gumption. Yes, way too much moxie. Also, just like the arrogance to, like, you can't even plug none of your movies in. And you're going to take their money from them like this? Like, you wildin'. So the children's animated movie that, you know, they had first asked yeah. him to do had a budget of $161 million. But now Bashir and Elfa were asking for a low budget film that, like, right, this low budget filmmaker that they just met to produce this full length feature for $124,000 in just 4 months.
So $124,000 to make
it was a bait and switch.
Like-
So they said we did an animation and that's going to be worth millions of dollars. And they said, actually, never mind. We scrapped that. Can you make this low budget movie about anything for $124,000? Literally anything.
Well,
whatever
what was the
want.
Budget for Clerks? We don't know.
Okay,
maybe.
Andy. This isn't 1993. This isn't U.S. 1993.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. So I've been butchering Elfa's name. It's Efa. So, but y'all just remember it different. Remember that I pronounced it right the whole time. So, Bashar was a wealthy 34-year-old property developer from London, and he's the one who's working with Efa. So, he said he had a series of failed projects. In 2006, he went to Buffalo, New York, to build the tallest skyscraper in the city, but what? Left bankrupt 2 years later. And by 2009, his estimated debt was $56 million.
Also, how tall did it have to be in Buffalo?
Three right. stories.
I was going to say, what are we talking? ten floors?
Ten right, floors? I think we're maybe like nine, right. seven.
He's like, I've got to go build the tallest skyscraper in Buffalo.
Yeah, I feel like this was not as big of a challenge. Like, how come you couldn't do it? And then how come you're $56 million in debt and they ain't got no building?
Right. That's what I said. What did you spend it on? This is like, what I don't get about property developers.
That's like the tastiest Thai food in Reading, Pennsylvania.
The tallest skyscraper.
Yeah, it's just like, just open a Thai restaurant. It's going to be the tastiest Thai food yeah. in Reading,
right. He said all we have to do is have a roof, because technically that's in the sky. So it's scraping.
It's scraping the sky.
Scraping his
so
bank
account.
So we
did it. So Elfa was a 32-year-old former actor from Ireland with some family in the government and quietly failing actor career. So she
okay.
had a, I don't know how you have a quietly failing acting career.
But is Efa trying to be in this movie? Is this her shot?
Efa just seems to be chilling right now with Bashar. Okay. I don't know what Efa's on. Okay. So Efa first met Bashar in 2009 at the University of East London. Efa had gone back to school to become a substitute teacher as she lacked acting jobs. And Bashar was studying finance. Okay, Efa.
Bashar is Connor Roy and Efa is Connor Roy's wife in Succession. Does that make sense at all?
Ooh, anyone? No, yes, it makes perfect sense. I don't watch it because I don't like yelling whites, but...
Okay. Really? Come on. You don't want to watch White Empire?
No, I can't. I watched the first episode, like the pilot episode, and I was so yeah. mad about that baseball game that they played with the
with cleaning. The poor people?
Yeah, where it made me so mad. I was like,
she walked out of the room. She was like, fuck off.
That's what I did. And then I said, Brian Cox stole my line.
Brian Cox be hitting me with that. I have a they sent me a fuck off sweatshirt. I love it so much.
See, that's nice. That is.
I accidentally
nice.
Wore it to the grocery store and people kept staring at me and I was like, oh shit, I forgot. Sweater says fuck off. And the chessboard, they really like spent money promoting this last season, but I love it. It's White Empire, like the company. Who's going to take the company? You know? All they missing is a drip drop, drip drippity drop. And technically, we got that when Kendall did his rap performance. White Empire. Okay. So Bashar impressed Alpha by bragging about his connections and wealth and offered to help her with her film career. So now he's like, I'm gonna save you, sis. Like, hop on. Exact same thing you were saying, Andy. So Bashar and Alpha's sister, Maeve, began dating soon after. And eventually Bashar suggested that him and Alpha could produce movies together. So he was like, let's just stay friends, but I am gonna fuck your sister, but let's do movies.
This is very Hollywood. Honestly, Everything is sounding so... I'm like, this all sounds professional. Sure. This sounds legit.
Everyone's a sociopath.
Like it's on the up and up.
Yeah, everyone's a sociopath. Nothing's right. Someone's sleeping with someone else. And then because of the relationship to the person you're sleeping with, the other person has a job. You know what I mean?
This is Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is literally how it works now. So I wouldn't be surprised. So he'd take care of the finances and Alpha would take care of everything creative under her own company, Evolved Pictures, all while continuing to work as a substitute teacher. So I guess she gave up acting. She gonna
be a substitute teacher and movie producer? Well, honey, there's not enough hours in the day for both. They're not enough hours.
Those kids movies. Are getting shortchanged for sure.
Oh, yeah. She's
leaving them behind.
She's putting in a movie. She's a substitute. They're putting in a movie. Definitely.
Literally. Yeah. And then you just see her typing on her computer. They're like, Miss Alpha. She's like, go back to your seat.
Here's Koyana's Kotsi. This will take up the rest of the day.
Oh, gosh. She's giving them long documentaries. Or maybe she's like, here's some movies I need to watch for work. And then she just puts those in and it's like, how? And she's like Googling how to make a movie.
Right. It's Paul's unwatchable movie. They're like, we can't hear or see anything.
Write an essay about it.
Right. So soon it became apparent that neither Bashar nor Aoife had any idea how to produce a movie at all. They began requesting 3D sequences, war scenes like the Hurt Locker, expensive slow motion explosions, and A-list stars such as Michael Caine. What? Michael Caine was out of budget.
Can you get the Cider House Rules guy?
Also, $124,000. I have not forgotten that budget. Michael Caine, that's what he charged by the day.
Yeah, you're not going to get Michael Caine to walk up in there and fart for your budget. He's not coming.
No.
The fact that you could even contact him or get how much he costs is hilarious. So Paul approached EastEnders actor Mark Bannerman and Andrea McLean, a presenter of a Scottish daytime chat show who had not previously acted. So he went and found these people.
Well, EastEnders is at least a real TV show, right? Like it's a soap.
Yeah.
But then just a TV presenter.
Yeah, just and Mark, who's just a guy.
Mark's a guy. He has a gritty look if we're talking
I've
about.
I've seen him in stuff before. I know who that is.
Well, he's EastEnders. He's the one who has acted. So, and Andrea is, that's just a purse.
Okay, so she's giving daytime. Okay.
Yes. So Mark was set to play the murdered mentor and Andrea, the bisexual therapist.
Okay.
It has her name and then parentheses, it says bisexual therapist.
Why does it say bisexual therapist in the script?
Why do we need to know who she's fucking?
It's wild.
But also, I mean, I don't know. Like, people know I'm bisexual.
But this is the thing. Like, bisexual is, like, not, like, the fact
I guess it does sometimes have to do with my job.
But is it your biggest, when you're writing something, is bisexual really the character's biggest personality trait? Do you see what I'm saying? To me, it's...
Like, I've never put the character trait, like, their sexuality in the parentheses.
I don't know. Bisexuals are really annoying. It can be a part of our personality. We are really annoying. So it could give you some character insight.
Chaotic, maybe you would use that word, right?
Yeah, but mostly just like if you meet a bisexual, you're gonna know they're bisexual, and normally it's just like a white woman with a boyfriend. We're the worst. Okay. I'm off the hook because I haven't dated anybody in 10 years. So, you know, there's been all types of people. But you never see me in a photo with anyone, have you? No,
that's true.
That's how I remain less annoying. So, in order to make the film look more expensive than it was, Paul made deals with brands so that Aston Martin, Ferrari, and Lamborghini all lent him cars for a day.
Wow.
So he was like, I'm going to put these cars in this movie.
Okay, so
don't
Paul's
worry
kind
about
of a hustler.
Movie.
Paul's kind of a hustler. Yeah.
Because, like, they didn't even ask about what the movie was. They were like, yeah, you could just have the car because free advertisement.
I guess so. But also for the day.
Can we do that? Can we just say we're making a film and get a Honda to give us a Civic?
Why are you aiming so low, Andy? I feel like Honda would give you a Civic regardless. Like, I think we got to go for Lambos. We got to get an Aston Martin. Suicide doors.
Yes.
So in one scene, they couldn't afford many extras, so they created a crowded nightclub by running a camera along the line of 10 extras who would hop behind the camera, then change costume and hop back in the line with a different costume on.
That's no.
How do you change that fast? Like, that's one shot. So you gotta just strip.
Or like, but here's the thing. Is it changing or is it just like, put on this scarf? You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a costume closet. And it's like, put on this hat. Put on these glasses.
Right. Now is that the same guy, but now he's in a fedora?
Exactly. Planning a threesome.
Planning a threesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is goofy and I love it. So Paul went on trying to make what he thought would be a serious movie under absurd circumstances. Bashar created problems. His primary role was to show up with cash at the end of the day and pay the cast and crew, but he often didn't appear.
Can you imagine? You're done for the day. iCarly, whatever. And then the producer just rolls up with a big wad of bills and just like, Lacey, come over here.
Here you go, toots. You did good today. What?
Wow.
He's showing up every day at the end of the day to do this.
Right.
He could have just paid him at the end of the week.
Exactly. But it's also like, literally, you're changing, and then like, what do you think? It's like, get in line. Bashar's giving out your payment. Do you know what I mean? Or is it like,
is he everyone, like key grips, actors, just everyone?
And you know, this is not a place where actors have a trailer. Yeah. Okay, so you're changing behind a garbage can.
Yeah,
so you gotta grab your items, and then you gotta go wait in line.
The guy like licking his thumb as he goes through the stack. Like, what are you crafty? All right, here's
$3,000.
Because also, you're not making the same. Everyone's not making the same
exactly.
amount.
Exactly. So, like, he doesn't know. Like, I bet you walk up to him and just tell him what you want. You, like, go up and you go, like, he's like, 100 pounds? 200? Say it. Just say it. Right,
she's like, you're a day player? Okay, how many scarves and hats did you wear to see? Okay, you get a little extra 20 for that. All right. Here you go. Get out of here. Lord. So he's showing up and giving people cash. But he often didn't appear, and Paul had to pay everyone out of pocket. So maybe that's why he's showing up and paying, because he's like, if I just don't come,
then Paul is on the hook.
Yeah, he's on the hook of paying everybody else. But then here's a question. When you know Bashar not coming, what you doing? You about to run to the ATM? Like, you're literally directing a movie. Who's gonna get it? You know, when you go to the ATM, you gotta live it.
It's while they're changing the lights for the next scene. You see him like sweating and he runs out. He's like, I'll be back in a second.
He's at the gas station just getting as much as he can.
He's like, I'll take two Kit Kats and
cash
he's putting
back.
It in his thing.
Yeah, he's like, cash back.
cash back. And then who got Venmo in here? Show hands. Who got Zelle? Who got Cash App? Got to diversify here. So when he did show up, he'd hit on every woman on set, often taking them out to lunch and promising them parts in his next movie. Wow.
Also, next movie. Can you imagine being on that set? They're handing out cash. Everyone's changing costumes every 10 minutes because they have to be in a nightclub scene of like 500 people or something like that. And then you hear him say next film and you're like, oh yeah, that sounds right. Definitely there's going to be a next
film. It's like, I'm going to make you a star. And it's like, I don't know if stars are getting made here.
Well, what I love, for some reason, I also imagine when he's taking someone to lunch, it's like when he feels like it, meaning Paul's about to shoot a scene and he's like, where's my actress? Like, he's like Bashar literally will take you to lunch whenever he thinks lunch is, and it does not matter if a movie's being shot.
She's at Nando's with him.
He's like, I'm gonna get you a sandwich. And then it's like, but it's like, we're making a movie.
It's not giving production schedule. It's not giving call sheet.
Exactly. You can't just show up and take someone away. Okay.
Right. Because when is lunch? Y'all don't know.
You don't know, Bashar. You ain't here. You ain't on the call sheet.
Yeah, the call sheet, which is written crayon on the back of used paper.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't get sent out. You just show up and you read it like a casting
list. Everybody gets
a
text.
Yeah.
Like, come at 5:30 a.m. Full hair and makeup already done.
Oh, yeah. You better have it done yourself.
We need all the daylight that we can get. So additionally, Bashar told Paul that he had already shot footage in Iraq and that they could just use that for the war sequences. But that footage never materialized. So he was just like,
in Iraq just filming things?
Oh, MI5. This guy is MI5 for sure.
But he's lying. But I'm saying, like, Bashar is like, I'm a developer, but I went to Iraq to just film some war?
Right. No. He was
Remember when Bush had sent this over there? When Bush had sent us over there to find them weapons of mass destruction that we gave him, I got some B-roll.
Just cause. I said, bring your camera. You never know what you might discover.
Right. I knew I was going to need it.
Oh, my God.
And how does that work? None of the actors would be in those scenes.
Correct. Maybe it's going to be dramatic flashbacks.
Oh, for sure. They're green screened in. And the green screen, you see like this giant halo of green around everyone.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's the TikTok green screen. They're using the straight off TikTok. And then a little bit of voiceover, like, so it said, ooh, ow, like, I'm at war.
Crash. Ow, my leg.
Right. It's like, don't die on me.
Hey, it's Saddam.
Hey, it's Saddam.
Oh, God.
They meet Saddam. No. So they made it do. Obviously, that footage never came, right? And they made do with a few IKEA potted palms and some makeshift market stalls in a rock quarry in a rural southern England. So they decided to make something look like Iraq.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
If there's one thing that looks like Iraq, it's the English countryside.
They IKEA potted plants.
Yep.
Or palms.
Palm.
And then some makeshift market stalls in a rock quarry in a rural southern England. Yeah.
Okay, so they said some stalls, that's the bazaar. Mm-hmm. They said palms, desert.
Yes.
They said quarry, desert.
Yes, we're shooting Broadchurch for...
All we gotta do is throw a little sepia on this bitch, a little of that yellow that they like to do in foreign countries to subtly trick us into making us think that they're poor.
Oh,
just a little bit of that yellow,
God.
And everybody gonna think it's Iraq. So add some of that music. Have you ever seen that TikTok that's just like, it adds on to like whenever they shoot something in Dubai and it starts off with someone like doing music like, oh yeah, yeah, wow. And then people keep just adding on to the stereotype. Like, it's hilarious. But true, like it's like that's what Westerners do and it sucks. So still, almost a year after Bashar and Effa first decided to make a movie, Paul completed A Landscape of Lies on time, under budget, and $100,000.
What?
Having put roughly $20,000 of his own money into it. Now, if you had $124,000 in a budget, and you came in under budget at $100,000, Johnny had two apples. Why are you spending your own money?
Thank you. You better get that 24 and put that right in your bank account. What are you saying?
Immediately.
But you know why? It's because Bashar kept not showing up. That's $20,000 he was paying people out of pocket.
Yeah.
Every time he had to go to ATM.
Yeah, and that $124,000, they just said that number. They didn't, like, haul up a truck and, like, $124,000 quid fell out. It was...
Right. Because they were just giving him, like, it wasn't like, here's your budget, here's the money. They were like, what do you need? Toots. Like, they showing up, you're right, licking his thumbs to pay for everything immediately.
Yeah. He's like, what did it cost today?
Half stogie in his mouth.
Yeah, he's like, $5,000 today? Okay, I can get you that. It's very, that energy.
I'll be back in 20 minutes. Right. What? So everyone was happy, and the promotional materials and trailer were created. The film premiered at a few film festivals in Spain and Las Vegas, and reportedly won a Silver Ace Award at the Las Vegas Film Festival.
What?
That's one of the, that, it goes Cannes, and then it goes the Las Vegas Film Festival. Those are the top two.
Wow.
Now, a spokeswoman from the festival has since claimed that it was a participation award. And then...
I got a participation Palme d'Or once.
And then she later claimed that they never actually screened the movie there at all.
Oh.
Okay. So perhaps Las Vegas Film Festival's a scam. Because you got to pay to
that's
enter.
That's what it's
You got to pay to enter. Okay.
Yeah. You got to pay your little entry fee and then maybe they send you an award.
I don't know. I had a 20-minute standing ovation when I showed my film at the Las Vegas one.
At the Las Vegas, and you got your participation.
All you need is the wreath. Like, everybody's small film just got lots of wreaths from places that you've never heard
exactly,
of.
Exactly. Exactly.
They were like, it won out number one at Ohio Film Players Festival Day.
It's like the Paul's Backyard Indie Festival.
The Tallahassee Film Crunch.
It's like, okay, who's Paul? Is it real? Okay, it's a wreath.
Tallahassee Film Crunch and Paul's Backyard. Literally. You could screen anything.
Anything, like, anywhere, right? I could screen it. I mean, put a projector up against a white wall. We got to screen it.
We screen it. So all that was left to sort out the money was like, was the money owed to Paul, and the film like would be direct DVD release. Okay, they was about to have this in a gas station near you. Wait, Judith, bring back up the trailer. We got to see a little piece of the trailer.
Yeah, we got to see a piece.
It's definitely one of those films that's like in cellophane with one other film in a big thing in a gas station.
Yeah, in a bin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 2-for-1 for sure. And it's always on sale.
Yeah, yes. It's $4.99.
Okay, let's see a little bit of a landscape of lies. Which, looking at this trailer, I'm very confused by the movie poster.
What? No way.
Okay, this is what they did in Europe. Or in England. Look, they did put the yellow filter on it.
And our top story. A decorated hero, Hilt McAvoy, was found dead today.
This guy's like Michael Mann. He's putting all these, like...
The police are...
Boys?
There's
more than one what?
Oh,
sillier.
Serial killer. He just said there was more than one. We were like, one what? He's like, murder.
I'm sorry about last night.
You don't have to apologize. Is this the bisexual therapist? I should have been there for him.
Is she his therapist? Back over
there. Probably.
She's a family torn apart.
You and Mom gonna get a divorce?
There were kids in this movie.
I can't take that chance. If Marcus gave us more time and I knew our family was solid, then I'd tell
him. Who is she?
A villain.
She having an affair.
A villain.
Oh, a villain seizes control. He the villain? Undercut my offer.
Where I just okay, rent a
oh,
car.
Oh, that's the rent a car.
I don't watch games
or
movies.
I'm the evil bastard they paid.
Four lives entwined by fate.
One of them a bisexual therapist.
Was that the bisexual therapist? That's what it was giving.
Can we just say we can hear every line? And we can see every frame.
Okay, so he's really stepped
it up. He's done the absolute minimum needed to create a film.
He's a dead man.
Ooh, explosion? Oh.
Okay, sexy in a club. We know she had to change outfits 4 minutes later.
Oh, for sure. Oh, running.
Okay, outdoor
shots. For some reason.
Okay, daytime.
Oh, that's that dancer again. Oh, he moved the papers off his desk out of frustration.
He was angry. Ooh. Oh, dead body. Ooh, dead. You just saw a dead body. Crying.
Okay. Let's. Oh, honestly, did you do that or did the movie do that?
I did that.
Let's get a landscape of lies.
Did the movie do that? No. They couldn't have no voiceover. That's why they had to put it on the screen.
Lacey's going to be falling asleep tonight and she's going to hear in her ear, a landscape of lies.
Honestly, you kind of just haunted me with that. That was so haunting. Oh, you're right. They couldn't afford no VO. They got to have like just
clips.
Clips. Like a little clip art where they're like, this guy's the villain. There's four people.
In a world where a movie costs $124,000
and you spend $20,000 out of pocket.
Oh my goodness. So in November of 2013, we're wrapping up here. Paul was visited by two investigators from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs with questions about Bashar and Elpha's taxes. Uh-oh. So my question is, my name is Paul. Why are you coming to my house asking about me about their taxes?
Right? I'm not an accountant. I'm a bad writer director that was hired.
Right. I make horrible movies.
Right.
Sometimes have sound now. Yeah, don't bother me.
Also, I've never seen a single British crime drama that stars like a tax revenue agent.
Well, they have to go door to door. They said, talk to us about Bashar. You know him best.
Right. You got any of his W-2s lying around? Why would I have that? Why would I have that?
He paid us in cash. I actually don't know his taxes, okay? He showed up with cash. EOD.
He actually paid everything in cash, so we don't even have a pay stub to know anything about anything.
Exactly.
So Bashar and Elpha's production companies, Evolved Pictures, A to Z, and AB Productions, they really like letters.
I know, AZ, AB, well, which one is it?
Because when you're scamming someone, you want it to be as innocuous as possible in the name.
Yeah, it's got to be vague.
It's got to sound like definitely a company, but like AZ... And then you got AB. Like, exactly. I feel like if we're going to Z, why are we going back to
A to
B?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not making sense.
So I guess AB Productions is when he don't show up to set to pay you.
After Bashar is AB.
Right. So productions and associated companies, right? These companies had been under investigation for quite some time. Well, that makes sense. So communication had been spotty between them and Paul. for a month because Bashar and Elpha had been under arrest with three other men on suspicion of conspiracy to commit fraud. So before Paul was hired, A Landscape of Lies was reported as a $24 million film starring A-list actors. And in the British film industry, any predominant British film with a budget below 20 million British pounds or $24 million is entitled to a cash rebate for up to $25,000. So the UK girlies were like, make a movie over here. We'll pay you to make the movie over here.
But 25,000, this is a very long scam for just 25K.
Yeah, for not much.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I said $25,000. I meant to say a rebate of 25%.
Okay. So they got 25% of
24 million.
Million. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now that's a little worth scamming for. That's worth scamming
right.
for.
Yeah.
For making
a movie in the UK, they get 25% back. So they said, oh, we're making a $24 million movie with all the stars and
with
the
Michael
very
Caine.
Famous director.
With Michael Caine and a guy from EastEnders.
Right. Michael is going to show up later. But
oh, wow. Well, I'm going to set everything I write now in Bournemouth so that we just make 25% back.
Good
right.
God.
A 20 mil? Like, it sounds good. So under that law, Bashar and Elpha had already received $1.5 million in public tax money and film tax relief and were about to claim another $2.2 million when HMRC caught on, like, in the winter of 2011. So the government had already rent. Okay. So you mean to tell me, Bashar, you got us making this movie for 120K because you didn't give me that other 24 or 100K, right? And then I'm paying 20 out of my own. You maybe showing up and paying people. And you sitting on $1.2 million?
You could have at least...
Minimum.
Exactly. That's like what he at least got, let alone what he knew was coming or thought was coming. Where it's like, you could have at least put 500 into the movie. You could have at least paid Paul back. Like... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's also just, to me, such a complicated... This is where, like... And Andy and I will, like, always be scrolling, you know, looking for something to watch. And there's so many movies where you're like, who made this, right? Movies you've never heard of with famous right. people that we always say is like, this must be a money laundering scheme. This must be somebody being like, I need to do something with this cash to move it around. Because right. how do you have a whole movie that, like, just ended up on Hulu and came out 4 years ago and we never heard about it till now?
I will bet that at least 30% of Hollywood is cartel money that they're just trying to, like, figure out what to do with.
I mean, remember when that guy scammed, like, all of Thailand and then made Wolf of Wall Street and gave Leonardo DiCaprio, like, an Oscar that they repossessed and gave somebody else a painting and a piano that they repossessed because it was, like, all stolen money from, like, a country?
Wow. No. See, I gotta tune in more to Scam Goddess, get every episode in because I didn't know about that one.
It was wild. So they got the bag and then made Paul struggle his little heart.
Struggle.
Like, why couldn't they afford more than 10 extras?
Thank you. Also, you didn't need to get no potted plant from IKEA. We could have
Y'all could have flown to Iran.
We really could have flown
everywhere. Wait, how did Her Majesty's Royal Tax Accountant catch on to the scam?
So, though the multi-million-dollar film never existed, Evolve Pictures created huge amounts of documentation trying to prove that they spent millions on the film. Expenses for talent liability alone exceeded the film's actual budget at $3.5 million, and they listed famous actors that had been supposedly consulted, including Michael Caine and Richard Burton, who died in 1984.
What? So, someone who died? They had him on payroll?
Richard Attenborough.
That is great. You got to... can't put no dead person on payroll. That's the first problem. That's how they found out.
Judy Garland.
Yeah. Well, check out my new movie with Fred Astaire. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
It's so good. Okay?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's going to be his comeback. To life, but also to the movies. So this is wild. So Bashar created the impression that the film was funded by Jordanian investors. Oh, and y'all, when I said Thailand, I meant it was a Malaysian. They stole money from Malaysian people.
Okay.
I just wanted to fact check that. But so back to what we're talking about. So Bashar created the impression that the film was funded by Jordanian investors by moving money around a number of small companies he set up for himself. So when HMRC called the investors, it was actually Bashar on the phone in a suspiciously inconsistent Arab accent.
Oh no! Oh no!
Oh, oh Bashar, no! Babe.
Bashar!
Babe, you couldn't even keep that fake accent consistent. This is not for you. This is not where you need to be. This is not your skill. Scamming is not your skill.
Ministry. I mean, it kind of is. He did do it for a little while, but the acting part, like, how you gonna get on the phone? Yeah. Like,
you gotta have other people on the phone at the very least. Like, it's like, what are you saying to me that all the investors led back to him with an accent?
Yeah, that's the equivalent.
Right, like, I'm not doing an Arab accent.
No, definitely not. But I was going to say, me doing like, hello? Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
But you know he got to have a fake secretary first. So it's like, hi, welcome to Evie Pictures. And then, oh, let me get my boss one moment. Do-do-do. Like, he makes like some walking sounds. Or he's got
tapping on
music.
He's on the table.
Foley artist, Foley.
Oh, my leg broke. And you hear him snap some celery in half.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's like, hello.
Oh, mister.
Literally.
Hold on. My wife's here, too.
Right. So at this point, the only proof of any efforts made to create the film were 7 minutes of test footage of actors reading out a script from Alpha's apartment. It seemed that Alpha and Bashar initially had the intention of actually creating a movie and went around asking for a lot of money before they caught attention. So they decided to commission Paul and finish their movie in order to cover the tracks around, like, them scamming the British government, right? So they were hoping to pass a $124,000 film off as a $25 million film.
Honey, just from that trailer, that looked like it was $7.95. So I don't know what they thought they was going to do.
Right. It wasn't even giving passion project.
It was not.
I've seen better TikToks. I've seen better YouTubes. Like, come on.
I know
now.
It would have been better if it had been shot on an iPhone. It would have been better if it had been shot on an iPhone.
Like, then at least could have gave me the little, what's his name? Scott Jones or... Spike Jones.
I like Scott.
I gotta put some respect on Spike. But yeah, he does stuff on iPhone sometimes. Come on now. So according to Paul, things seemed fishy from the start, but any opportunity I get, I'll make the film. If you're worried about backstage politics, you'd never do anything. He's not wrong about that. So we'll get through this a little quickly. This is a long one. So the sentencing. Though not all the details are known, it's possible that Bashar and Alpha are up to take the fall from the very beginning of their partnership. So he encouraged her to set up Evolved Pictures and ensured that it was her signature on almost all the paperwork.
Bashar
was setting her up.
Wow. But still sleeping with her sister? That's the other thing I want to know, too. Is the sister still in
the mix? How you be fucking my sister and setting me up for prison? That ain't right. Like, you're getting family coochie, and you set me up to go to the clink.
Right.
Absolutely not. Oh, that's egregious. So initially, it seems like Alpha really believed that he had the millions to make the film dream come true. And she crossed the line much further down. So she thought this was legit. And she's making all these companies and signing all her name on all the checks. And it turns out, you know, later on, it was sketchy. But by that time, she already in. So she was like, let's do a little crime because, like, what else I got to do today?
She's like, I want to substitute teach these kids.
Right. Let's she's like, I fucking hate these kids.
Are any of their signatures on anything?
The children.
Yeah.
She got the kids to sign.
She was like, practice your penmanship right here.
We're going to practice our cursive today, guys. Everyone sign at the bottom of your form. But when that happened, like when she actually started doing crime, it's kind of up for debate, according to Sarah Clark, a production manager who was the person to eventually report Alpha and Bashar.
Ooh.
Damn, she snitched. So Sarah was hired a year before Paul and was shocked at the lack of professionalism Evolved Pictures displayed, such as not having an office. It was a vibe, girl.
You a property developer, Bashar. You couldn't develop an office?
Come on, one office? You can't even get a WeWork. You can't go to Starbucks. Nothing. So, and Alpha was constantly changing the film's budget by millions. So she was like, today we got $20 million, okay? We actually don't have that no more. We got $3 million.
I'm waiting for Bashar to come back and we'll see what we got today.
He comes back with his pockets full, like bulging with cash and coins.
Bashar got to go pay the crew and cast. And then when he come back, I'm going to tell you how much we got. So... Sarah was, why did they do this? So at some point, Alpha approached Sarah about developing an animated film adapted from a children's story that Sarah was writing about Robin Hood. But when they met to negotiate, Alpha's associate actually was Bashar in disguise.
Hello, it's me, Bashar. Wait, I mean, Yashar. Yashar, that's
wait,
me now.
My wife's
Bashar,
here, too.
Bashar, why your mustache oh, coming off? Why is your mustache coming off, Bashar? What's going on?
He's got a mustache underneath.
Two different mustaches.
So he offered her only $6,200 for her story and verbally assaulted her when she refused. God damn.
Out of his damn mind. What are they doing? You didn't even finish the first movie. Stop trying to take on new movies. Y'all haven't gotten this one right. You have extras changing into prop costumes to make a party look bigger.
Right, like, bro, please be so for real.
Imagine John Wick, but, like, they only have 10 extras in the nightclub scene, so they're constantly, all right, we're going to have to do all the murders again, now with 10 extras, now further, like, 10 feet further behind.
Imagine taking where he does all them neck chops on the guys who come at him one by one, so he got to kill them with the neck chop, and then they got to get back up and jump back into the place.
They fall to the floor, out of frame.
Yeah, they roll out of frame, crawl around. On a different hat
and come in again.
Get up and fight him again. Yeah.
Like the 10th guy is now wearing a sombrero. It's like, are we in the Czech Republic? What's going on?
Why are they wearing all these different hats? But also, like, how you gonna cuss me out because I don't want to get a part of your scam? He was like, fuck you, bitch. Excuse me?
He's like, y'all.
Why you don't get involved in crime with me?
Thank you.
So Sarah was upset that, you know, Alpha, whom she considered a friend, hadn't defended her. And she realized that it might have been a setup for her to take the fall for the financial mismanagement of what was then called Landscape of Lives. So this was before Paul, right?
Before the V was removed.
Right. So they were like, we want you to get involved. And they kind of did the same thing to Paul where it was like, animated film.
Exactly.
And then they were like, just kidding. It's Landscape of Lives. And it feels like they wanted her to sign some shit and just be like, don't read that.
Exactly.
Not too much reading, babe.
Exactly.
Not too much on that reading, okay? You just go ahead and put that, Sarah, put it, write it down.
See, Naomi, it's important to read everything.
You have to read. You're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
How Andy, you said that. So a week after the meeting, Sarah reported the duo to Crime Stoppers before she could get caught in the windfall. This led to a year-long investigation by HMRC while Paul had a grand time making the dupe film. So Paul over here living his dreams.
Right.
Sarah over here giving up every piece of paperwork she has. Oh, poor Paul. So note, Crime Stoppers Trust is an independent crime-fighting charitable organization in the United Kingdom.
Oh.
I didn't know they were independent.
I know. Well, here, isn't it like you call them if you see something and it just goes to your local police station or something?
Yeah. Like, how y'all just gonna be professional snitches? Like, the fuck?
You know what? Bless them. I love it.
Independent.
Charitable. You called it for free. You go, hey, I saw something. And they said, we own it. That's better. They should call themselves Crime Stoppers Bureau because they actually doing something.
Right. That sounds good. Yeah. Everyone in America that's like an independent one is just some dumb racist.
Right.
Right. A vigilante justice. You just want to shoot people. Exactly. You're weird. You're weird as fuck. So Alpha Bashar eventually caught when the government realized, like, despite their best efforts, they had no $24 billion movie. So Alpha pleaded guilty on the first day of the trial.
Wow.
Damn.
On the first day.
I know. It's also like, why don't you just take a plea before? And I was like, everybody got gathered here and you were like, I did it. I'm sorry.
She pulled the Tory Lanez.
She went to see the power
wig. She said, Roc Nation will pay for this. And then she got in there and was like, oh, oops. I'm very guilty. Oops, I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm very guilty. Anyways, where's the jail?
I'll see myself out to the jail.
Yes. I'm going to be out here waiting for y'all to take me to the jail. So Bashar maintained his innocence because of course he did.
Of course he did.
So he served 6.5-year sentence while Alpha got 4 years and 8 months. I feel like Alpha, you could have threw him under the bus harder because
she really should have. She really should have thrown him under the bus. She could have gotten 2, give him a full 8.
I'm surprised they got convicted at all.
Well, the UK, you know why? Because you tried to take Her Majesty's money.
Yeah.
Right? If this hadn't been a government-funded situation, you know, Her Majesty said, absolutely not.
Like, listen, like, my face on these coins.
So,
that's Lizzie's cash.
Listen, I stole everything I got from Native people, but now it's mine.
Exactly. You ain't about to rob
me. My face is on that money. You ain't about to rob me.
That's what they said. That's why. If it had not been that, there's no way.
Right. Elizabeth was like, I do the robbing around here. Okay. I got to look, you can see the British Museum. That's all the shit we stole. Like, don't play. Don't play with us. So, also, Alpha, like, girl, you should have just immediately. I would have been like, I'll wear a wire.
Exactly. I would have been like, I'm a substitute teacher. I don't even know what's happening. Bashar's with my sister, and I just said I wanted to make movies. Like, do what you do best, white lady. Start crying and say a man hurt you.
Sell him up the river, James.
Sell him.
Does that work in the UK?
I think so. I'm like, just for any time, I am a victim. I'm surprised she actually got 4 years, 8 months. That's a lot.
Because she could have just been like, what? That's crazy. He never let me see the bank accounts.
Exactly.
Which y'all want me to do? So three others, Tariq Hassan, Ian Sherwood, and Osama al-Baghdadi, received sentences of 3.5 to 4 years. We ain't never heard about them people.
Well, and I said, if he had associates, then why did he have to put on fake voices?
Wait, I was going to say, are those all of Bashir's other personalities? Those are all.
I'm like, I was like, you was over here doing voices and disguises, and you got three other friends?
Yeah, why you ain't just put them on the phone?
Bro, you're tripping. Bashir. I mean, Ian. I mean, Osama.
Damn it. I gotta hang up now. I'm gonna call you back. So the $1.5 million of public money was never recovered.
Oh, wow.
And as of 2016, Alpha planned to create a film about the film's drama.
No. Babe, get out of the film game.
Babe, get out of the film industry.
Get out of the game.
Get out right now. They should not even let you buy cameras. Like, you should... That should be a part of your probation. It's like you can't get nowhere near microphones, cameras.
Yeah, we won't even let you have a smartphone. You have a flip phone for life. You can't make nothing.
Nothing. No thanks. So Paul Knight received the rights to A Landscape of Lives and re-edited it for re-release. He's still trying to put this movie out.
Babe.
He's mostly recently co-produced a Danny Trejo action film called Renegades.
Okay.
Ooh. That is a real person.
Okay. That's a step up.
Danny Trejo.
Okay. Also co-produced. Okay. He knows how to work on a shoestring budget. Just don't let him write it or direct it. If you want it to be visual or oral at all.
Audible.
Audible. Visible. Okay.
Yeah. If you want those things, but if you don't care about that in a film, then he's your guy.
Oh yeah, he could put it all together. He's like, okay, I could do it. He's like, I could make this a warehouse party. Just give me 4 people and 12 hats. We could do this. Okay.
I got you. All right. Well, that brings us to the saddest part of the show, the end, where I have to let Andy and Naomi go. But before we do, this is a long one, y'all. forgive me, or maybe you
know.
No,
it's a delight to see you. I hope we didn't make it too long, but I am so excited.
No, we had to get the wedding. We had to get that out.
We had to get it out.
I knew that we needed to work through that.
You are a wonderful bisexual therapist.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Okay, it's really, that's what's carrying the podcast, is the bisexuality. So, Scammer of the Week, we're talking about a charlatan. Maybe we love him, maybe we hate him. Influencers Ariel and Brandon Sharnas have been accused of embezzlement and failure to pay suppliers and employees.
Can I body shame these guys?
Absolutely. Go off. Uglies.
Just uglies.
Just general insults. Like, nothing pointed.
No real, yeah.
Right. I don't like y'all faces. So, these two influencers, Ariel, she founded a clothing company, right? Called Something Navy, a line that sells elevated basics. I know that's right.
She's an elevated basic.
Thank you.
Woo! That's a good one, Annie. Points on the scoreboard. So it's giving like coastal chic, or like, you know, the girls are trying to give quiet luxury.
$65 for a crew neck tee, y'all. A plain white t-shirt. You need to go to Old Navy and get 10 for 5.
That looks like a
prison
uniform.
That's quiet luxury. That luxury is like, hello. Because, you know, rich people were like, as soon as brokies could start getting a label, they were like, that's so gauche. I can't believe you have a Gucci logo.
I'm wearing
a $10,000 burlap sack.
Exactly.
This is all sold to Nouveau Riche.
Well, but this is the thing. But like this whole idea too, though, I feel like I see so many ads on Instagram for this type of clothing, right? Which is the like neutrals. Plain.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Hanes with a markup.
Yeah.
Yes, and Gwyneth is selling the girls these things.
Uh-huh.
She's selling any and everything, and I love it. She just became QVC. She was like, I'm done acting. I'm about to sell these bitches things. Creams. A $5,000 infrared spa. Love it. She really do sell that.
Wow.
So back in December, the rumors were spreading on social media that Brandon had personally embezzled from the company and that the couple were getting a divorce. So they were together. Mm. They were married. Andy, have you embezzled from Naomi yet?
That's Think a very good it. Question. Why don't we handle that on the record?
Well, I mean, what do we call embezzlement these days, right? Right.
Andy, put on a voice. Call your associates in here.
I'm just going to have my attorney talk for the rest of the time, okay?
Okay,
hey, it's me, Bashir, and Amanda's attorney.
Your attorney's also Bashir.
Wait, no.
Bashar.
Oi, it's me, Ian.
Oh, wow.
Not oi.
Oh, no.
So while the rumors have been denied by the couple, they continue to face accusations of non-payment amid declining sales and an exodus of employees. So the girls were like, we're leaving the Navy. Mm-mm. We're getting discharged immediately. So reportedly this year alone, at least 22 employees have left the company with 28 full-time employees remaining. Damn, y'all doing Twitter numbers. Y'all really losing y'all company. So in a statement since release, CEO Matthew Scanlon? This looks like Scamlin, which makes sense.
Scamlin? It's in his name?
Yeah, it's actually an N, but I'm going to just say Scamlin because that feels right. And he's a Matthew, and I told you those are scams. So he said, the employees may have decided that the startup was not the right environment for them at this time. Which I understand, because, like, if you're not giving me money, like, that's not the right environment.
That's not the right work environment for me, one in which I do not get paid. You better pay me in cash at the end of the day, at the very least.
Right.
At the very least, if you want me to come
at
back tomorrow.
At the very least. So he was referring to delayed payments and being a normal in a startup environment. No, you got to pay people,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
If you don't, sounds like you can't afford to have that many employees. So at the same time, Ariel posted about her and her family vacationing across the globe on social media, but they ain't got no money. For y'all. But they do have money, you know, for like Coachella and for like Yacht Week in Croatia, but not for y'all. So while Brandon and Ariel reportedly are still together, there's been no formal charges of embezzlement right now. So the government has not gotten involved and no further efforts have been made by the company to address vendors or ex-employees. So they just said, we're just going to like put our pages on private.
See, that's what doing a scam in America is. We saw a scam in Britain versus a scam in America. Scam in America is, wait, you didn't rip off anyone wealthy, right?
Oh,
okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yo, you're
good. Whoa, crazy.
Oh, the poor? Oh, that's fine.
That's fine.
Like, even Elizabeth, Lizzie, one of the most prolific scammers in her turtlenecks, Elizabeth Holmes, she is going to jail for ripping off rich people.
Right.
She's not going to jail for, like, you know, giving poor cancer patients, like, bad information about their blood, you know.
Of course not. Right.
Their blood test.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah.
going for stealing from Richie's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's
but
the real
Walgreens one. Was like, lock her up. So yeah, those are the vibes. But oh, we've reached the end of a fantastic episode. We always ask on this podcast, where would you like to be found? Where people can listen to you, watch you, everything.
This, I think I'm only really doing much on Instagram nowadays. I've entered my Reels era, so join me there. I've been forced to post clips. I've been forced to post clips at Black Dress Comedy.
Of course, you can see Naomi on season 3, like you said, of the stand-ups on Netflix. Listen to our podcast, Couples Therapy, where we talk to our favorite people and then give advice to listeners.
Andy also has a podcast called Beginnings, where he interviews creative people about their process, their relationship to creativity. I also have another podcast called I Love a Lifetime Movie. This is a 3-podcast household.
We still can't afford property.
So we just keep it in hustling. We keep it in hustling. So visit us and support the hustle. Lacey, you're a dream. Thank you so much.
You too are a dream. Thank you so much for coming on the show. As always, if you want to snitch on your friends and family, I don't think I said this earlier, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired so we don't fuck up your bag. Amen. If you want to write in a letter or tell us how you're scamming the bridal industry, like, please pull up scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. If you want to see these pictures of these people that we were shaming and who are so ugly and some are not, scamgoddesspod on Instagram. And if you want to follow me and my shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. Congregation. Stay basharing. Get out there and do an accent for the girls. Wear a disguise. Show up somewhere in disguise. I've never done that.
Scam goddess. This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. The Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our recording engineer is Abby Aguilar. And our audio editor is Jesse Karen. Research for the show is done by Kaylin Brand. Stay scamming.